stand up? Can you stand up, guys? Never experienced before. Yeah. let us see new things, O God. O Father, O King of glory, thank you, O God, for this privilege to be called sons of God, to walk in this generation in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. We may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, normally I receive a lot of invitations to travel here, travel there, but I wouldn't listen to them. But Kenya was particular. When we prayed to the Lord for Kenya, immediately the Lord revealed to my wife, immediately I just opened my mouth to pray, should we go to Kenya? The Lord revealed a dove with a kind of, in those days, ancient times, they used to use doves to send messages from one place to another. Immediately, the Lord revealed this dove with a scroll tied to the neck. You know, and God, this dove was going somewhere. And God said that he should go and take the message of the kingdom there. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said, well, that means I better move to Kenya. Hallelujah. Amen. And the other day when I came in, the second day, I remember I just said, let us stroll around the streets, around the hotel. And while we were down the street, I was walking with my wife, and suddenly this big man with many men around him just sort of passed me. Then the man turned and stopped and greeted me, welcome. Then he left. I found, who is this man? So I walked down the street, and another man was standing at the corner of the street just there. And he said, oh, you must be somebody important. I said, why? I said, why do you say so? He said, do you know that is the governor of Nairobi? I said, what do you mean the governor? He said, that is the new governor of Nairobi, the first governor of Nairobi. And I said, well, ah. So that was the one that shook me. So something occurred to me in my mind that the Lord was saying, welcome to Nairobi. You know, God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
When you become very familiar with God, you know that God too used to play a lot. He's like a baby. Amen. He has a sense of humor. So God was trying to tell me, welcome to Nairobi, and I feel at home here. It's a wonderful place, wonderful people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord says, he's going to raise a people who are going to stand on that holy ground.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do you know where you find the holy ground? That holy ground, you don't need to go to the Middle East to find any holy ground.
Yeah.
You know, some people go to some place and when they put their shoes and they kneel down and, you know, all that is just religion. Amen?
Amen.
Because there is only one land that is holy, there is one spot that is holy, and that is the pinnacle of Mount Zion. Amen?
Amen.
Mount Zion. See, the mountain of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
And on top of this mountain, praise God, is a holy what?
Ground.
When you say holy, you know, when we hear things like holy, what do you think holy means? Holy. Holy means something that is consecrated, holy. Totally consecrated. Meaning that this spot is so consecrated only to the name of what? Of the Lord. Nothing apart from the Lord can stand where? On this mountain they call Mount Zion. It's the Lord's what? Holy mountain. There is no beast. There is no man, ordinary mortal man. Nothing that defiles or makes a lie can ever ascend to this place called Mount Zion. It is holy. Only the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Only the Lord. So how can we stand on this holy ground as brethren? What is the way? How can we get there? Because we know that in Psalm chapter 24, it says that who shall stand in this holy place? You know Psalm 24?
Yeah.
These are very popular psalms. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's.
Yes.
Let's read it together. For those who don't know Psalm 24, I'm going to start from verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend what? The hill of the Lord. And who shall stand where? In the holy place. He that has a clean hand, has a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully, this he shall what? Receive what?
The blessings.
He shall receive the blessing of the Lord. You know, do you know the blessing of the Lord? You know the blessing of the Lord? Is the Lord Himself.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who shall ascend to this holy hill of the Lord? This is where the Lord is gathering His people today. Because God's King is seated upon this holy hill.
Yeah.
It's not a physical mountain. It's not a natural mountain. We are speaking about an elevated realm in the spirit, which is higher above all other kingdoms. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This was what Jesus Christ was demonstrating when he took three disciples,
okay,
and took them up a high mountain. 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, 3 is a symbolic number for the resurrection.
Mm.
Praise God. I mean, of course, to climb this mountain doesn't mean that you become religious.
Yeah.
If you like, fast day and night. If you like, cry day and night. If you like, pay all your tithe to the poor. If you like, do whatever you want. If you do not understand the mystery of Christ, the name of the Lord, your true identity in the Lord, you cannot enter there. The mistake we have made over the years is that we try to enter into God's promises as men. We try to enter into God's promises on our own. Praise God. But it cannot work that way. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Anybody who wants to partake of the glory of the Lord must what? Lose his life. Isn't it written in the Bible?
Yeah.
Unless you lose your life, you are not what? Worthy of me. You don't know these scriptures? Unless you lose your life, pick up your cross and follow me, you are not what?
Worthy
of me. What does this mean? It's the name of the Lord. We have to deny what we thought we were. Deny our human identities and lay hold on the revelation of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul had got that revelation. That's why Paul says, no longer I, but Christ. Only by the name of the Lord can we ascend God's holy mountain. And this is the work that the Lord is doing to us today. Hallelujah. It is the place where the heavenly Jerusalem is situated. Because the heavenly Jerusalem is the city set upon the hill. Isn't that what Jesus Christ says? He says that you are the city set upon the hill. As you can see, everything is like a jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah.
Your eyes are beginning to open to see truths that you never saw before. Who shall ascend God's holy hill? What the psalmist is saying here, who shall dwell in God's holy city, the New Jerusalem? And Jesus Christ says, you who walk in truth, you who are disciples. You know what to be a disciple of Jesus means? It means that you have let go of your own life. You have left all to follow the name of the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
Those that have left all for my name's sake, are you listening?
Yeah.
You have left all for my name's sake, shall inherit eternal life and 100-fold the things that you've left. We are living all today for what? For the name of the Lord. It's no longer Trevor. Amen. It's no longer Evelyn. Hallelujah. But it's what? Is the Lord and the Lord alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's why he's giving us understanding today. He has come to give us understanding of him that is true. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, he says that he has come to give us understanding of him that is what? True. Even of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the true man that God created in the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. And we all are in him. Are you listening? We all are in. Anything that will tell you anything contrary to what I just told you is the lie of the devil. That is the spirit of what? The Antichrist. The spirit of the Antichrist is already present in the world. So you have to throw away all those dirty literature books that you carry up and down in the markets. Rubbish Antichrist things. You know, some people are so foolish. They say Obama has got a chip in the market, and you know, it's a kind of a mark of the six of the beast. And they are injecting people with the mark of the beast. It's just plain nonsense. All men in Adam receive the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is that serpent that was in the garden in the beginning. The Bible says he was the most subtle of all the beasts. When Adam began to receive from the serpent, he became marked with the nature. When you say the mark, it's talking about the nature. The nature of the terrestrial, which is the nature of the beast. The nature of the natural man. Don't you see men the way they behave?
Yeah.
Don't they behave like beasts?
They do. Yes.
The lawlessness is because of, they become like what? Like beasts. And you know, when you have a beast, you have to cage a beast, isn't it? The other day we were at the zoo, is it that the park? And you see those wild lions, the big lions, they were all caged up. Because if you loosen them, they will cause a lot of havoc. That is why men are under law. Because men have become beasts. The law was not meant to function the way it's functioning now. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because man became degraded. Man fell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But now the time has come to awaken to the reality of who you are. Recognize the Christ that I am. The Christ in you. This is the gospel shining. This is the light. When God says, let there be light, this is the light shining in the darkness of the hearts of men, causing them to know what is the mystery of the Christ in them. You are more than what you think. You are more than what people made you to believe you are. Because like John says, the way he is the way we are. Praise God. Look away from any mistake you have made in the past and walk in this reality by faith. Hallelujah. If you fall, there's a voice behind you saying, get up, my son. Let's go on. Don't worry. I'm with you. You are covered. The blood is you are covered by the blood.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because your father will never leave you nor forsake you. He's there to gather you and bring you to that place of perfection. For he says that I know the thoughts that I have towards you.
Yes.
Thoughts of good to bring you to what? An expected end. God desires to see you happy, fulfilled, in joy, in health, bubbling with life. That is the will of God for every man. God is not out to cast anybody in fire. That's not the work of God.
Yeah.
Amen. God is not out looking for people so that at the end of the world he will carry them and say, okay, I've got you finally. Come here. You know, that's all those are your imaginations as men. This is the work of the devil. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, well, I can do whatever I want then. Well, go and do whatever you want. And when you are finished suffering, come back and tell me. See, when you hear the truth, it's not a license to misbehave. Amen. Because when you misbehave, you only enter into greater shit. Greater what? Problems. Amen. When you tell a child, don't put your hand in fire. If the child puts his hand in fire, what will happen? We'll burn him. Hallelujah. So when you hear things like this, it's not a license to misbehave, but rather it's a license to unite yourself with the Lord and be thankful. Hallelujah. Turn quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 14. I want to show you a vision of yourself. Hope I'm not too fast. I hope I'm not too fast. Nobody's answering me. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh. Hey. Ah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you there? Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion is that same holy mountain I just talked about. Amen. And with him, 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are what? They are virgins. These are they which follow. No, did I skip something?
Yes.
Okay, let me just go down verse 3. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts. And the elders, and no man could learn this song but the 144,000, hallelujah, that were redeemed from the earth. Hallelujah. Okay? These are they which have not defiled themselves with women. They are what? They are virgins. And these are they which follow the Lamb wherever it goeth. Praise God. These are redeemed from among men. Praise God. They are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. Hallelujah. And in their mouth was found no guile, and for they are without fault before the throne of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let us be attentive to this thing, because what John was seeing was a vision of you in glory. Do you know you are among the 144,000? Standing upon Mount Zion. Praise God. You are the ones that God has redeemed from what? From the earth. You know what it means to be redeemed from the earth? Those that have been redeemed from the dust. Those that have been redeemed from what? From the terrestrial. Praise God. Because God did not design you to walk as a carnal being. God did not design you to walk as a beast. Amen. God did not design you to walk with the nature, with the 666 on your forehead, but rather to walk in the name of the Father. Praise God. When you say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost, now you understand what it means. It means you walk in that name. It's not a ritual kind of thing. When you say you are baptized into the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, it means you are baptized into the Lord's body.
Yes.
You are immersed into the Lord's body. I told you, it's a body with many members. We are all members, equal members in that one body. So you are baptized into that body. That's what baptism is all about. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
One body, one baptism. You read this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. Praise God. So John saw 144,000 upon Mount Zion that have been redeemed from the earth. The Bible says that they had the name of the Father upon what?
Their
foreheads. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what it means to have the name of the Father on your forehead? Do you know what it means? These ones walk in the name of the Lord. They walk in the nature of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's no longer I, but who? But Christ. And I and the Father are, if I say it's no longer I but Christ, then it's the Father also. You see the mystery? I and the Father are one. So if I walk in the mystery of Christ, it means that the Father is manifesting himself through me. It's God that is manifesting himself through me. This is what the Bible calls the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. People are looking for God everywhere, but they don't know that the thing that they're looking for is inside themselves. Do you know that you are the temples of God? Paul asked that question, do you know that you are the temples of living God, that God dwells in you? Do you know? If you do not know, you are dead. See, when people go to temples and worship and face one direction, and they are dead. That's why Jesus Christ offended them. They told Jesus, are you greater than Moses? Jesus Christ told them that, destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. He was speaking about himself. He says, I am the temple of God. The Father dwells in me. God dwells in me. Not in that temple made with hands, but with this temple not made with hands. Within you is an invisible body, which is the temple of God. A temple not made with hands. But if you don't know this secret, you will suffer many things. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why we're hearing truth like this today. To know. You know, Jesus Christ brought this revelation the first time. Jesus Christ says, he is the temple of God. The temple of God. God dwells in him. Paul now comes later on the scene and says, don't you know that you are the temple? That God dwells in you? Don't you understand that the works that Jesus Christ did are the same works that we do today? It's not about filling stadiums and performing miracles. The miracles of Jesus, a lot of them were symbolic.
Yeah.
Praise God. If Jesus Christ raised up Lazarus from the dead, there's a message behind that. You can raise somebody from the dead and the person is still dead. You know that?
Yeah.
Praise God. Because if you don't know that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, you are dead. In your sins and trespasses, you are dead. When Jesus Christ called Lazarus from the grave, before he did that, he said that I am the what?
The resurrection.
I am the life. There are no two lives.
Yeah.
There's only one life, and that is the I am that life. So the one that will come out of the grave of ignorance, the graveyard of ignorance of humanity, is the one that awakens to the reality of Christ. Hallelujah. What you are hearing today is that same shout that Jesus Christ shouted, shouted when he called out Lazarus. He said, Sue, comfort. Pastor Isaac, comfort. Carrington, comfort. Trevor, comfort. That is the voice. Comfort from the grave of ignorance. And the one that will come out of the grave is Christ, because there's only one that lives. Which is Christ. It's one body, many
members.
Look at the members here. Amen. You must recognize this secret. These are deeper secrets of God you are hearing today. You will not hear it anywhere. You will not hear it in big churches. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember some years ago, I went to one pastor. He made a mistake to invite me to his church. When I finished, the man called me and I said, man, see, he has never heard this thing in his life before. And this is a bad pastor. You know, the whole conference is big men, big cars, you know. And he humbly told me, look, Trevor, you can see that all these people that you, all these big names, you know, they don't know anything. He was admitting to me. He confessed to me what he heard put him off his, but you know, he never invited me back to his church. You know why they don't want this kind of message? Because this message will set you free. So this message will make you free and liberate you. It will liberate you from their terrors. That's why they don't like this kind of message.
Yeah.
Praise God. But if you are faithful with the truth, God will honor you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. God will honor you. It is written here that the Bible says that these people sang a new song that nobody upon the earth sang. Some years ago, I was preaching somewhere, and suddenly another group of brethren in another place called me and said that they saw a vision of me singing a new song with some people, a song that nobody could hear. And I quoted the scripture to them. They went to read the scripture. They were all surprised. Eh? He said exactly like that. So we were singing a song that nobody else understood except us. It's the message. It's the secret of the kingdom.
Amen.
We are speaking a language, a new tongue, a celestial tongue.
Amen.
A heavenly tongue, a heavenly language.
Hallelujah.
Was speaking a language that is of the Lord, revealing things that have been hidden for many generations. Hallelujah. So you better be thanking God. You are hearing something today. Amen. 144,000 with the name of the Father upon their forehead. These are the people that have been redeemed from the earth. The Bible says that they were virgins. They are not defiled themselves with women. Of course, if you want to interpret that literally with the carnal mind, you think that maybe only men will be saved. And maybe men that have never had wives or something before. That means I'm out. I reject that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. That means I won't go to heaven, because I've had a wife. Praise God. But you know, in the things of the spirit, there is nothing like male or female. We are all one. When you get out of this body, you know this is also a vessel. There is no male or female in Christ. You know Paul wrote about this. You know Paul wrote this. He said there are no male or female in Christ, because Christ is spirit. You know that? Praise God. Hallelujah. So he says that they are virgins. Why are they virgins? Because these ones have divorced themselves from this world, from the lies of this age, and these ones are married to Christ. Have you heard of the celestial marriage? They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, meaning that they are married to the Lord. The two shall be what? Become one. Paul spoke about the mystery of marriage in a letter to the Ephesians. That Christ and the church, we are married to what? Christ. And when you are married to Christ, there is only one body. The two become what? One. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We are married to what? To Christ. These are the people who are worthy to climb up to this mountain. The people who are dedicated. They live, you know, in this natural world, when you marry a man, a woman marries a man, what happens to her name? They change the name of the woman to the name of the man. You see, these are spiritual truths, When you are married to Christ, you now begin to bear his what? His name. And you now begin to enjoy everything that the man has, isn't it? Free of charge, I have to pay for my wife to come here. Amen. She'd enjoy my money. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So when you are married to Christ, you are actually, you become a partaker of everything that is Christ.
Amen.
To his glory and everything.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I'm married to Christ, meaning that he's my head. I can say no nothing. I can say no shh. It's my head that speaks. I'm just submissive to the head. You see, it's my head, I'm the body. And my head loves me. And my head cares for me. This is the secret of marriage. Praise God. So we have to get married to the Lord. Amen. Praise God. First get married to the Lord. Hallelujah. Be faithful in that marriage, because that marriage is the eternal marriage. Any other type of marriage that you see in this world, they are temporary. You know that? Somebody is sad. Oh, I'm going to leave my wife someday. I'm going to leave my husband someday. These things we see in this world are what? They are temporal. Paul says that the things that you see in this world are what? They are temporal. Amen. Praise God. No matter how your love story is, they are what? They are temporal. But there's something that is eternal, which is your marriage to what? To Christ. So you better hold on to the thing that is real. Amen. Praise God. So we'll go on. Are you getting me here? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So these people are gathered, they stand upon Mount Zion, and these are the ones that will receive the blessing. Praise God. Do you want the blessing?
Yes, sir.
Now we are seeing the shortcut to the blessing. It's not about going to meet a big man of God to lay hands on you, and you fall down. Then another man of God comes to town. There's a man of God in town. Then you lay hand, you fall down. Another one comes to town. You've been doing this for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And you keep going like that in circles. But you are never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Never coming to the place of maturity. Never coming to the place of the blessing. Always seeking a blessing from another person. Not knowing that God wants you to inherit the blessing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. God wants you to stand in the place of the blessing and to sing this new song before the nations. Hallelujah. You know, as I'm here before you, now I'm singing. I do shakara before you. You know me not shakara? Oh, this is another word. You know me of yanga? Oh, it's another word. You know, it's great when you go to different places, you see different cultures, different peoples, you know. It's wonderful. You begin to see the beauty of the Lord. I was telling a sister today that my prayer is that let God just at least just take me around this whole world. Let me see every tribe, every people, let me eat every type of plate. Let me just enjoy his body. Let me enjoy his world, you know. That's my dream. Hallelujah. Praise God. Of course, while I do the ministry. Amen. And let us be encouraged. I have many, many books. I have a website, which is very, very, you know, very, very much, very active. People from all over the world, I send books and all over the world, distribute books all over the world, and, you know, preaching the mystery of Christ. Preaching about our gathering unto the name of the Lord. Praise God. This is what God wants every child to come to. God wants every child to come to maturity, to grow up into the full man, which is Christ. Amen. He doesn't want you to go around in circles all your life. Amen. The time comes in your life when you now begin to hear the truth and enter into life. Praise God. And you begin to experience the beauty of an endless life in Christ. And it is now, as you hear the voice of truth. Amen. It is how you hear. It's not about seeing signs and wonders. It's not about big bands. It's not about big choirs. You know, big bands, big cars and big planes. But it's how you what? Hear. It's not about being religious. It's not about how many times you go to church or how whatever you do out there, but how you can hear and to know what is this mystery that I'm preaching, which is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, what did Paul say? He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can we repeat it? Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Christ in you, the hope of
glory.
Hallelujah. Your hope of glory is where Christ in. Paul says further in a letter to Romans, don't expect to go to the sea, underneath the sea, to look for Christ. Don't expect to go to the heaven to look for Christ. The word is here today. It's by your confession that you begin to enter into life. You begin to confess the Christ in you, meaning that it's no longer me but Christ. Begin to learn more about the nature of Christ, my true identity. Because I'm not just ordinary flesh and blood. See, I have a spiritual identity which is like that of my Father. Inside this vessel of clay, this lowly vessel of clay, lowly vessel of dust, is the glory of God. It's the pearl of what? Of great price. Everything that you are seeking for, the gateway to God is here. The kingdom of God is where? Within you. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? The kingdom of God is where? Within you. The devil robbed us of this knowledge. Like Lazarus, we were all tied up. You know? You know Lazarus in the grave? Have you seen a mummy? You know what a mummy is? Egyptian mummies, those things that they come around with bandages, all their face and all that. That's how we were in Adam. You are just covered, you don't know who you are, you don't know where you're going, you don't know where you're coming from. But today you know where you're coming from. And today you know where you are going. Because you have what? You have heard. It's by hearing. And you must continue hearing. Continue hearing. Like yesterday when I shared about the transfiguration of Jesus. The voice from heaven, what did he tell the disciples? This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. He didn't tell them to form church or to begin to play religion. He told them to do what? That's how you can enter into life, by hearing the voice of the Spirit. 7 times in the book of Revelations, he says, mind how you hear what the Spirit said to the churches. The Spirit is trying to speak to men, but men are distracted. We have burdens, isn't it? Job, how to make ends meet, isn't it? Family problems. And these things are wearing us down. And we are neglecting the thing that matters most, which is the Christ in us. Praise God. Pray that God, the Lord, will strengthen you to hear, to see, to exercise yourself to listening to the voice of the Spirit. And as you do these things, a door is open for you into life. God bless you all. Can we stand up and pray? Lenny, can you come on? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you for this word, oh God. Thank you for the light of life. Thank you because we are hearing what many have sought for the ages, over the ages, to listen to. But they did not find, they did not hear it. Abraham sought this message, but he never found it. Moses never truly understood this message. Jeremiah and the great men of God, the ancients, could never understand this mystery. But you have given it to us today free on a platter of gold. Thank you, Father, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we command the spirit of liberty in the lives of your people. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, O God. Hallelujah. We're standing on holy ground today because of your grace. We are standing on holy ground today because of your love for us. Standing among the 144,000, partaking of the body of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Oh, thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come. Hallelujah. Thank you. Stay, can you stay here? Hallelujah, Father, just stay here. God bless you, sister. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. The Lord strengthen you from Zion. Hallelujah. The Lord keep you from Zion. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That precious thing that the Lord has deposited in you, praise God. Let it spring forth and be a blessing to many nations upon the earth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We command that every burden over you be lifted in the name of Jesus. We command liberty in the name of Jesus. That thing you cried for and desired, the Lord will give you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we command release in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus. Release in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let those torrents of living water begin to break forth in her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. And let those waters flow unto the nations in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because it is done right now as we pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we command freedom, liberty in every aspect of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, my sister. Because the Lord is with you. And the Lord wants to use you for mighty works. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me see this.